The reading this morning is from Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's work, God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure and the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will open our ears to hear what you've got to say to us. Open our eyes to see you. And open our hearts to receive you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just love that passage from Ephesians. It's the fifth in our series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I think it emphasizes a lot of what we've already covered through the passages in 1 Peter and in Romans and in 1 Corinthians. That God gives a variety of gifts to those who follow him, to each Christian person, to enable us together as the body of Christ to serve him in the world and to bring praise and glory to God. I think verses 4 to 7 of our reading this morning just about summarize what we've been learning. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace or charis has been given us as Christ apportioned it. Charismata, charis, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The passage gives to some of us a very warm glow, because it is one of only three in the New Testament which mentions the word evangelists. Hooray! Verse 11 says this: it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's work, people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up. Now, quite a lot of people have got strange ideas about evangelists. But in fact, the root Greek word, euangelion, apologies to anybody who speaks Greek, simply means gospel or good news. The verb euangelizo is preaching the gospel or sharing the good news. So actually, every one of us who shares the gospel, who shares the good news about Jesus Christ in words or in actions, is an evangelist. Hallelujah. Today we're going to tell you a little bit about one body of people from within the Church of England who are working around the length and the breadth of Britain, as well as in several countries abroad, to bring the love of God through the gospel to people who maybe don't know him, but to people who will receive more of what God wants to give them through words and actions. And that is Church Army. So first of all, we're going to look at a little bit of history, and I apologise that I don't have any dates for these slides, but you can see that some of them are a bit old. In 172 years ago, our founder Wilson Carlyle was born, and 137 years ago, in 1882, he founded Church Army. 132 years we have been working with women, particularly homeless women in London, and I'll tell you a little bit about that a little bit later. It's 22 years since Sheila and I were commissioned with Church Army, and it is 7 years since we have been a mission community, which is a bit of a change for Church Army. So we started with this guy, Reverend Wilson Carlyle, in 1882. He had been a very successful businessman in his late teens and in his early 20s. But sadly, there had been a depression in the, I think, about the 1850s, and it had left him almost destitute. But God had spoken to him through it. Just look what it says. "I have seen the crucified and the risen Lord as truly as if he had made himself visible to my bodily sight. He touched my heart, and all desires and hopes left it. In their place came the new thought that I might serve him and his poor and suffering brethren." So he decided that he was going to do this work. He had in fact seen the work of the Salvation Army and spent a little bit of time with them. But he realized that within the Church of England there was great potential for reaching out to the poor people in London and eventually further afield. You won't be able to read the writing, I don't think. Oh, maybe you can read the writing on these pictures. But this just shows you people queuing up, homeless people queuing up for food in London. And if they were able to get a voucher from somebody or from doing a little bit of work, then that entitled them to a free meal. And you can see how many people there are there. And then this is in Banner Street Evangelical Church. They are running an evening for ladies and their children, entertainment, and again, food to supply those who are poor. Some of the earliest work amongst women was to bring them together and to set them to work, to give them a skill. And you can see that they've been given uniforms here, and they've been given the skill of sewing. So when they were able to sew, maybe they could go out and get themselves a job. Since the very earliest days, we have travelled around, and this just shows you one of the earlier caravans, and a motorised version of it. And sometimes we were sent out on bicycles. I don't know if Charles ever had to do that, but there is one of our vehicles. Some people doing. Oh no, not that one. That one. Yes, some people doing a beach mission. The ladies getting ready to go out, and here we've got men being employed alongside Church Army officers to pick hops in Kent, and they picked apples as well, to give them some work. During the wars, we set up shelters and places of rest for people in the forces where they could come and just enjoy themselves and have food. And then we come to a little bit more modern, and you might recognise a handsome young man there. Charles, come and tell us a little bit about the early days that you served in church, will you please?
As you can see, that's the old type of uniform, and what I'm wearing this morning is a sort of a hybrid version. It's a bit of the old and a bit of the slightly newer type of uniform that we used to wear. And uniform had its advantages and it also its disadvantages. I remember getting onto a bus on one occasion, and as I got on, I heard a person say, "Canadian Air Force." So we were mistaken for other organizations as well. But it did identify us as being involved in Christian work. And the type of work that I was involved in initially when I left college was to work on a caravan. So if you could have, the green caravans up there in the corner.
Oh, I've done it again.
And that was my home for 3.5 to 4 years, where I lived there, worked from there, doing missions in churches in Northern Ireland. And I enjoyed that work immensely. It was hard work because it meant going into schools on a morning, some mornings in the week, doing preparation. Then in the afternoon, going out visiting people in their homes, which was an important part of the mission. And then in the evenings, preaching and sometimes leading as well the mission service. And then afterwards, we would be invited maybe to somebody's home for supper, as well as being invited out during the daytime for lunch and tea. So I was pretty well fed. I was only 10 stone when I went into Church Army, which was about 63 kilos. And I gradually then started putting on weight and haven't lost it since. But on one occasion, after a mission service, we were in a church hall having supper, as they called it. And I'd got to know Beth just a little while before that. And she and a friend of hers came to the mission service. And we're in the hall having a cup of tea. And one lady came round with a plate of sandwiches and she said, "Come on, Captain, eat up. We've got to find you a wife here in these parts." So Beth almost choked on the food that she was eating and had to leave the building coughing. So, yes, there were the funny sides as well. But we found that people attended those services extremely well. And God blessed that ministry amongst Church of Ireland people and others as well who came to support us. And we saw people come to faith in Christ. But that was just one part of the work. Then in the summertime, we would move across, or I moved across then to this country to work with Church Army people, doing summer outreach, starting at the Cathedral City, and if we, we have that up there as well. We'd head out then, having spent 10 days in the Cathedral City, stopping at parishes en route to a seaside resort. And we had about 20 or 22 seaside resorts at that time where Church Army were involved in conducting outreach amongst holidaymakers. And one of the seasides that I went to was Blackpool. And I led that seaside mission for about 5 years. And there were tremendous crowds of people there, so plenty of opportunities to minister. And we would have services down on the seafront in the morning for adults, the afternoon for children, the evening again, weather permitting, for adults. And then twice a week we'd have an open air outside St. John's Church, the parish church. And then at night time we would have a meeting outside the Methodist church as people passed by on their way to the ballroom for dancing. And one young man who was given a piece of Christian literature on one of those occasions came back the following year and told us how, as a result of getting that piece of literature and reading it, he committed his life to Christ. And instead of going with his parents to the ballroom, where he spent the time other years, he spent the 4 weeks with us on the team. And he was only one of a number of other young people who used to come and give part of their holiday to working with us. And that man later got ordained in the Church of England, was vicar of chapel in Lerfrith and is now retired, living in Blackpool. And we get a Christmas card from him every year. So God bless that work, but we don't know to what extent. Only eternity will reveal how many people have responded to the message that they heard on those occasions. So that's just a little bit about the work I was involved in. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles.
Paul and I were supported in training with Church Army by this church, and we were very, very grateful. One day when we were looking for where God was leading us to after Youth for Christ, we called in on Charles and Beth and said something like, "What about Church Army?" And I've never seen anybody move so quick. He was on that phone in seconds. So, you know, just be careful what you say to him. But what a wonderful time it's been. And we were training from 1997 to 1999. We've been involved in a little bit of ministry over those years. We first of all worked on a council estate in a place called Anston near Sheffield. It was a pretty bad area. We were on a church plant which we met in a community centre. When we got there, it had only just begun. There was about 12 people from the main church meeting there. And the estate was dreadful. It was the police called it a no-go area. And if you went onto it, you'd have understood why. It was horrendous. Places boarded up and trouble and, you know, everything you could think of. It was a real bad place. We worked on that in that area for 7 years, and our promise to the people of that estate was we would stay. And because people come and start things, and then they went off because they couldn't deal with it. But we did stay, and the church is still there and happening without us. It didn't need us. We were just the catalysts in getting it going. But we had a wonderful time, and that estate changed so much during those years. It wasn't just us, but we played our part in it. It was to do with the police, it was to do with social services, the council, all sorts of people working. And by the time we left, that estate was a desirable place to live. So, you know, there were very good years, and we had amazing times where we saw people come to faith, and we saw people with addictions come off addictions. God really blessed us in those years. And then we came back here. What a blessing it was to finish our time of paid ministry back at the church that we left. And it was such a joy to come here and work with Francis, reaching out into Starbeck. Paul always has delight in telling people we were called cows when we came here, community outreach workers. He'll never forget that. He tells them everywhere we go. But I was working particularly with the older people in the congregation and in the community. I'm now one of them myself. And Paul was working very much in the community and visiting people, meeting people in all sorts of ways. He used to say he was the only person he knew who got paid for sitting on a park bench. But that's what we had to do, go and meet people where they were. And we had lovely years working here. And as you say, we haven't gone, and we're still quite active here, although perhaps not as active as we used to be, as we are retired. I have the privilege of doing a lot of work, we both do, with Church Army itself, and I have a tremendous privilege of being invited to serve on the senior leadership team of Church Army. They always like to have a retired evangelist on there, and I think the one person who did it before me when this started was a lady as well, and I think there was something in that because all the other leaders are men. So obviously good to have a lady on there with a bit of common sense sometimes, because they're just wonderful guys, full of vision, full of energy, full of excitement. They're absolutely brilliant and doing amazing stuff. But sometimes you have to say, hang on, how are you going to do it? You know, and it's a real privilege to be on that, even though I do work very hard for them some weeks, three days this week, so it's quite tough. In Church Army itself, there's been a lot of changes over the last few years. I've got so many bits of paper. In 2012, we became a mission community, an acknowledged mission community. Before that, we were a society. But this was opening up membership of Church Army to people who had a heart for evangelism. Anyone with a heart for evangelism and wants to come into our resources and what we're doing and just learn from us is welcome to join our mission community. Janet Jackson is a member of our mission community here, and I know she was a great blessing to Church Army and there to her when she was able to be extremely active with us. Our vision changed. Now, where have I got the vision written? Oh, there it is.
I've got membership.
Oh, I've got membership first. Goodness me. Sorry. We have 226 active evangelists. We have 170 retired evangelists. And all of them will still be active. And we have 28 currently in training. And the members of the mission community is 470, of which 109 were commissioned people. We also have an explore. I don't think these are on there, which is a year-out scheme for 18 to 25s. We have 38 on that. We have now started something called reunion, which is for people who are over 30 who still want to do evangelism or perhaps have a year doing evangelism and learning and doing different things. And there's 68 people on that at the moment. And we have actually had, in the last year, a 400% increase in those wanting to train for Church Army. So you can see it's absolutely going. We also have 500 volunteers. Our vision, which again changed recently, is now for everyone, everywhere, to encounter God's love and be empowered to transform their communities through faith shared in words and actions. I should be able to just spout that off, but I didn't want to do it without this. And we have a strategy with which we work, and it's called DARE. Now, I do know this one. It's doing evangelism, advocating evangelism, resourcing evangelism, and enabling evangelism. We work all across the British Isles and Ireland. So we're Wales, Scotland, England, Northern Ireland, and Southern Ireland. One of the ways we do still work in all the normal ways, in parishes, in hospitals, in prisons, for homeless, we still do all of those things. But one of the ways in which we work now is called centres of mission. And these are where two evangelists, a lead evangelist and a pioneer evangelist, will go and work together in one particular area, possibly to do one of the things that I've mentioned, or possibly to work across churches and just raise evangelism in the area. And these have proved extremely successful. I think we've got about 25 or 26 at the moment, and the aim is to have 50 by the year 2027. And these are worked in dioceses. Bishops get hold of it. I think they were told about it by the Archbishop, who was very much a friend of Mark's, who was our chief executive. And the idea is that the diocese pay half the money and Church Army pay the other half, so we work together. And these centres of mission are really taken off. We can't staff the number that want to be setting up. We launched two last month. There's more waiting to be launched. There's one launching in Leeds this month and one of the estates in Leeds. So it's happening all over the place. And one of the exciting things is we've got two or three centres of mission in Southern Ireland. And that is an absolute breakthrough. And there's one of them where it's a joint venture with the Anglican Church and the Roman Catholic Church. How good is that? And when the centre was launched, it was launched in the Catholic Church. So we're just so thrilled with all these things happening. Right across all these islands, people are hearing about Jesus from Church Army evangelists. And we so long for that to go on and on and on, don't we? That people hear about Jesus. Paul's just going to say a few things to tell you about a couple of centres of mission to finish us off here.
So Church Army evangelists continue to work in prisons, in schools, in parishes, in hospitals, with the homeless, with those who are deprived and addicted, with young people, with children, with older people, with families, with singles, and with anybody who is in need. We're just going to look very quickly at a couple of ministries. Those are some of our colleagues working around Britain. One of the newer centres is in Scunthorpe. Anybody know Sonny Scunthorpe? Well, it's a pretty deprived area now, I can tell you. And these two bruisers have gone in there and are working in two of the most difficult areas in Scunthorpe, sharing God's love. They're going to schools, they're working in youth clubs, they're working, in fact, they've set up a food centre that people can come to. And one of the most interesting things that they're doing is this, they've set up a community garden in this deprived estate, and they're turning it into a nature and a conservation area so that schools and groups can come and they can learn a little bit about God's creation. So they're working in Scunthorpe. Our newest centre is in Middlesbrough, which Sheila and I rejoice about because we grew up in Middlesbrough, and the particular estate there was one of the most deprived when we were there, and it still is. And this lady, Jane, has just recently, in the last couple of months, gone to live there and to work with the people there. Her target group is, in fact, 20s to 40s. A lot of people unemployed on that estate. A lot of women just hanging around and doing virtually nothing. So she's getting alongside them, as well as working in youth clubs and going into schools. And they're hoping to set up a hub or a centre in the middle of that estate. An older established work is Sorted in Bradford. The guy on the left is Andy and his wife is Tracy. And in 2003, they decided that they would set up a centre particularly for skateboarders. Andy used to come to college when we were there between 97 and 99, and he would arrive on his skateboard. He just had a heart for these kids out on the streets of Bradford who, again, were pretty lost. So over the years, they have built up the ministry there through youth club, through Sunday meeting. They have baptised a lot of young people. And there are now, let me see if I can find the number, 150 young people involved in the Sorted ministry. So they've now got three youth churches, and they've got one for young adults, because of course the people that they were working with in 2003 are now 16 years older, so that they're going on for 30 years old. Andy has written a book, the DNA of Pioneer Ministry. He's got a website. If you want to know more about it, please let me know. Probably the oldest established ministry we have is in the Marylebone Project in London, where we are trying to help ladies who are otherwise on the streets. So on the corner of Marylebone Street in London, we have this huge building which has got 112 beds and 365 days of the year. 99% of those beds are occupied by ladies who otherwise would be homeless. Our aim is to give to them self-esteem, maybe to give them employment. I don't know if you recognise the lady in the white, anybody? She's a pop star, evidently, Ellie Goulding. She is one of our patrons, and she gives of her time to get alongside some of the ladies. We try to give them training so that they can go out into the world and establish themselves in a normal life. So the ladies at the top have done their cookery training and they've got their certificates. On the left, we have recently established a garden so that they can actually grow the food, and they can then cater for people outside. We also provide language training for those who are not able to speak English very well. So you can see that we are Church Army. One of our colleagues has written this. We are Church Army. We are bold. We are seen as trailblazers. We don't stand still. We take risks to remain progressive. But we are also down to earth, with real people on the ground engaging in real life on the ground. So all around Britain, we are seeing the kingdom of God increasing through many different ways, through many different people, including Church Army. People's lives are being changed as they accept Jesus into their lives as Saviour, and then begin to live their lives with Jesus as Lord and Helper, and then serve him by the power of his Holy Spirit. In St. Asaph's Church in Wales, on the one of the estates in Wrexham, a little girl called Megan regularly attends the Tin Can Youth Hut. And she says, "Josh, the church army man, took us on a camp and we learned about how Christians are, what they believe in, their faith and stuff like that. It was really good. Over that summer I started to believe, and now I've got a Bible that Josh gave me. My favourite verse is from Philippians. You can do all things through God because he gives us the strength." As we come to a close, I want to encourage you in your calling and the gifting and the ministry that we've been learning about over the last month or so that God has given to you of serving with the King. I encourage you to look out for even more opportunities to evangelize by sharing God's love in Starbeck, in Harrogate, in Ripon, in Knaresborough, wherever you live, and then wider than that. God loves you and me so much. His love is wide and long and high and deep. St. Paul encourages us with these words: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Please do take our literature. There's a table out there. Read and digest what is going on around our land. If you're able to give to Church Army, there are envelopes or boxes available. Please talk with us at the end of the service. And if you feel a call to be an evangelist, I can recommend Church Army to you. Bless you.